Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Teachings of Mormonism, the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholicism is not Christian, plain and simple. And if you are practicing homosexual, you cannot be a Christian. It's that simple. I don't say that, the Bible says it.
Deep in an underground bunker that looks like our mother's basement, in the middle of Lake Michigan, this is Empowered by Christ Radio.
All right, welcome to another episode of Empowered by Christ Radio. I am glad you are here to join me, and I am your host, Richard Haas. It is already almost August. It's July 23rd, 2014, and time just seems to be flying by. You know, it just summer just sails right on by, especially up here in the northern parts of the United States. You know, we do not get the enjoyable long summer as a lot of the southern states do. And not that a lot of the other part of the country is having an enjoyable summer. I mean, we got out west, we got a lot of droughts. Down south, we got a lot of storms, and it seems, you know, a lot of hot, oppressive weather. So it seems like our summer, where no matter where you're at, is a little taxing, to say the least. But, you know, for the most part up here, where we're in our bunker down here in Wisconsin, in our bunker in the middle of Lake Michigan, it seems to be a pretty nice batch of weather we're having. You know, we're not suffering from excessive heat. We're not suffering from excessive rain or suffering from excessive drought conditions. So we're being blessed here, you know, with good weather. We did have a nice hot weather event yesterday, got up in around 90 degrees. So if you're following us on our Facebook page and on Twitter, you most probably saw that we were going to do a radio show yesterday, but decided not to. We were going to postpone it for a day because I decided to take a little personal time and go take my son down to the beach and have a little fun splashing around in the lake. So, you know, I got to go out and do that when we can. And with our weather this summer, not cooperating, and that was really our first hot stretch of weather where we could enjoy some beach time. Otherwise, it's been mainly in the lower 70s to upper 60s around here. Not great beach weather. So, you know, decided to take a little advantage of that, and today it's back into the mid-70s. It's actually 66 right now, looking out from the bunker towards the lake and looking at the thermometer. It's about 66 degrees, so that would not be good beach weather. Like I said, you know, we had our summer. We had a day of heat here. So, now, like I said, if you would have been aware of that, if you're either following me on my page, which you can follow me on Facebook at Richard Haas, it's open. Now, I am close to the 5,000 friend limit, so that means you would have to just follow me, and that's how people have been keeping up with what's going on and all that kind of fun stuff. And you also can follow us on our Empowered by Christ Facebook page at EBC, Empowered by Christ EBC, and at Twitter at EBC Apologetics. We are on there, and that's where you can get our updates on our articles. We write for our website at empoweredbychrist.org. You can check that out. Updates for the shows and other stuff we post, you know, that's going on basically in the world of apologetics. and in Christian worldview, and just general information affects us as Christians that we need to know about. And with that said, I just want to put this out here, not that we're, you know, in dire straits or we're going to shut the doors or anything, but we do have a budget. And I've often said a lot of times that, you know, we do the radio shows for free. We do a lot of, you know, our articles and everything we do for free. We don't charge money. We don't, you know, some websites, you know, you got to pay, you know, $3.95, $6.95 a month and you get a full, you know, hour of the show, or, you know, you get extra articles or whatever. Well, we don't do that. And we want our information to be out there for everybody to access, you know, to edify the saints, to defend the faith. But as you know, everything has a cost. You know, when you turn your lights on, it costs. When you have your internet, it costs. Everything costs money to do, including this ministry, even though we don't charge anything. And, you know, we've often said, and I've often said this several times in a show, that we do it, what's a tent maker's ministry. Charlie, Brennan, Joe Carlone, myself, we all work jobs, we all contribute, and we pay for most of financing the website, the radio shows, and videos, and all that. But it does cost money. And we were discussing in our board meeting with a couple of our other board members, and we do have a board, that they felt that we need to start taking that burden, and burden in a good sense, that, you know, outpouring of money coming out of our own pockets to run this ministry on a constant basis, and start asking our people who are getting uplifted from our messages, from our shows, from our articles, to help support that. And we're not saying if you don't support us that there's any danger of us going away right away, but, you know, it's going to tell us, hey, maybe we're just not where God wants us to be. So, depending on what happens, we've decided to start a fundraising campaign. We're not asking, you know, like, hey, a special thing if you don't do this, or, you know, you get extra. It's just a fundraising thing. What we did is we went to, and you'll see this on our Facebook page, and you'll see it on our homepage of our website at empoweredbychrist.org. Basically, we went to one of the funding websites, you know, where you can, like, if you go to Kickstart or you go to, you know, FundMe or GoFundMe. Well, we chose one of those where it doesn't have a minimum, where whatever you get is what you get. And we sat down and figured out what our operating expenses would be for roughly a year. And compared to other ministries, it's really not that expensive to run this ministry. But we want to expand. We want to take our reach, and we want to expand what we're doing. And in order, we've kind of reached with, I'd say we got no donations at all. We are at our limit of what the three of us can finance and do, and not have it affect outwardly our household budgets and doing other things. So if, let's say, we did not raise 1 cent doing what we're doing through this fundraising thing, effort, we would basically not expand any farther. This is the limits of what our ministry would do. So now we chose, which is called Fundly, FUNDLY.com, and it's, you know, it's what we chose was, if you go to there, and you're, like I said, you go to our homepage on our website, or you go to our Facebook page, you'll see, you know, a little banner there. You can click it, and what web address will take you to the site. And, you know, it's Empowered by Christ Ministries Days of Praise and Fundraising event. And what our goal here is basically, it's real simple. Of course, we wanted to raise enough funds to sustain the ministry for 1 year. And we came up with the amount of roughly $3,000. And now you might be saying, well, it's, you know, a lot, or it's not. Well, if you think about it, compared to what other ministries' fundings are, it's relatively low. Most ministries are in upwards of $20,000, $40,000, $80,000, $200,000 a year to run it. We're talking $3,000 a year, including expansion. This is including what we want to do expanding. Now, reason we have such a low overhead number is for several reasons. And, you know, I kind of covered this in on here, and you can read this, but I'm going to just take a few minutes and talk to you about this before we get into our show today. Now, reason is several reasons. First of all, we're pretty good stewards with our money. We don't go out, you know, you don't see us going out wasting our money on stuff we don't need. Second of all, we don't take a paycheck. None of us here in Powered by Christ Ministries are paid for what we do. We're volunteers. We donate our time. We do apologetics and worldview because we love doing apologetics and worldview, and we love Christ. And we love our Savior. So that's where we've been called, and we kind of just don't take paychecks for it. We don't get paid for it. And we don't get any compensation for it. So right there, if nobody's drawing paychecks, it cuts way down on your expenses. So what we did was, we figured it out and added up our yearly cost of doing the website, doing radio shows, and wanting to expand. And you can take a look at those things on there. I'm not going to go into a great deal, but it's about $3,000 to do everything. And that's including doing a few extra things. As you know, we were on Blog Talk Radio in the beginning when we first started in Powered by Christ Radio. And we got off of there because it's roughly $40 a year, or $399 or $400 a year to do a... If you pay for a full year, it's $400 at once. Well, we're both, all three of us and our board decided, members of the board decided, hey, it's not really being cost effective when we're not getting donations. So ideally, we would like to get some donations to pay for that, to get back on Blog Talk Radio on a live format where we can get callers and, just have a chat room and all that and get back onto Blog Talk Radio. But we cannot do that wisely, and we don't think it's a prudent thing to do without donations coming in to support that. And that's about $400 a year. And there's about, there's other, costs in running the ministry, website, editing material, software, and all that. And it, for the website, and that runs about $500 to $600 a year. Now, you might be going, okay, well, that's, where's the rest of the, money going into? Well, the rest of the money would be going to expanding into live radio. With that extra money, after we run, pay for the website, pay for the software editing for writing, upkeep of the website editing software, Blog Talk Radio, doing the podcastings, and doing, because this costs money here, doing this podcasting, it costs money to have it go through Podomatic. And, well, our other goal is to start a 24-hour internet radio station, which is approximately between $1,200 and $1,500 for the year, to start it. Because we basically have the software to do it, but we to do the editing, and it's the same software you're hearing me use now to talk to you guys now on this podcast, but we need additional software for, of course, having an internet radio station and the licensing and all that. So that costs about, like I said, $1,200 to $1,500 for startup. And once we get that started up, well, we're pretty well set. Then it's only, I think, like a $300 a year renewal deal, something like that. But after that, it'd pay for the first year or 2 years of the radio station. So with that said, that's where we came up with that $3,000 marker, because we'd like to expand to where we have a 24-hour internet radio station, kind of like what Chris Roseberg has over at Pirate Christian Radio, and we would have a 24-hour radio station just sort of like his, a little different format, a little different areas of covering, because, we're not going to do exactly the same thing Chris Roseberg's doing over at Pirate Christian Radio. We're going to do a little different. So, just cover different areas from a different aspect. He covers it from a Lutheran aspect, we cover it from a Reformed aspect, so it's different. And different show formats and everything of that standard. It'd be kind of a Reformation radio, if you want to say, throwing names around if we ever get that far. So, that's kind of where we're at. Again, this is something, you know, we don't like going, hey, we need money. No, 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 that isn't what we're saying. We're just saying that if we do this fundraising and we don't get anything for it, this is as far as this ministry is going to go. God's blessed us this far. God's taken us to this level. And if this is where God wants us to be, well, then that's where we're going to be. We are prayerfully considering, and we want to expand. And in order to do so, we need to do a fundraising event, and this is what this is. So if you go to Fundly, or you go to our website, which is easier, if you go to Empowered by Christ Radio, or you go to, empoweredbychrist.org, go to our website, empoweredbychrist.org, or you go to our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC, you will see that we have a banner there, and you can click it, and after you've given to your church, you prayerfully given to your ministries you give to, hey, if you want to shoot us $5, $10, a dollar, something, you know, just to help get us towards that level of $3,000. And it'd be much appreciated and be prayerfully, appreciated. So I just want to bring that up and thought I'd bring, take a few minutes to explain that to you. So now, all that said, now if you want to get a hold of us and leave a comment about the show, about any past shows, you can do so, and we'll play your voicemail on the next week's show, and you can do that at 414-369-2242. Now you might be wondering, what is this show about? What are we doing today? Well, last show you might have said, hey, you might have been listening and heard me talk about prayer, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is prayer. And specifically, we're going to be talking about prayer and faith healings and laying hands on people and the misuse of prayer and what prayer is and the way we should pray and what prayer isn't. You know, we're going to just do a general topic of prayer and kind of the way the prayer has been misused in American Christianity. How basically, prayer is getting a bum rap because, you know, a lot of times prayer has been miscommunicated as, hey, if you pray this, God's going to answer this. Or, you know, you're going to hear from God. You know, we pray and we hear from God. We hear this, you know, this calling on our heart. You get the Blackaby version of prayer, this mysticism. You know, Blackaby wrote this book several years back, and I did the course study back in several years ago when I lived in Kansas, when I was attending a Baptist church. Big one of the studies was doing Blackaby, experiencing God. And at the time, I thought, wow, this book's really good. It's really, really good. Man, it's going to change my prayer. So I did it, and, you know, I followed it, but nothing happened. I was like, when I got done, I'm like, okay, well, you know, this kind of seems weird. You know, I had this weird vibe about it, but I went through it and did this book. And I was going through it, and this was before I really got into apologetics and worldview. And, you know, I was kind of in the infant stage of Christianity. I was, you know, I was a believer, but, I read my Bible. I did this stuff, you know, prayed, and, you know. But I started, you know, this big hype on Blackaby's experiencing God. And we did the, you know, you had the book, you had the workbook, the teachers. But, you know, you did. I got done with it, and I said, man, this thing's really weird. It's, you know, I just got a real vibe off. Well, I put it on the shelf. Left alone for a couple of years, got into apologetics, and realized as I was studying and understanding, you know, prayer and just different doctrines and everything that goes along with apologetics, that, hey, Blackaby's book, Experiencing God, was akin to basic modern-day mysticism. And I went back and I looked at Blackaby's book and just kind of, you know, didn't redo the study, just browsed through it. And I was like, man, this is really wrong. This is mysticism. Because as I studied and understood biblical doctrines and understood prayer and what prayer should be according to the Word of God, I understood that what Blackaby did was put a tiny twist in prayer. And he took and made it that, you know, if you do this, he formulated it, then God's going to show you this, that, this, and that, and he's going to talk to you in a still, calm voice, and, you know, you're going to find out where God wants you to work. Well, that's not how the Bible says prayer works. You pray to God with confession, and you ask God, and you can communicate, talk with God, pray with God. You know, He's our Savior. He wants to hear us. He wants to hear our prayers. And it isn't like you're going to hear something back in an audible voice. You know where you get your answer to your prayers? In the Word of God. That's where you get your answer in your prayers. You don't hear God communicating back to you. What you hear is, all time in Scriptures, people pray and people go to the Scriptures and look. That's where you find your answers, in the Word of God. You communicate to God. Prayer is for you to communicate to God. God's Word is God's communication back to you. And what Blackaby's book did was take, and I didn't realize it at the time, was add a third element of mysticism to it. He very well communicated that if you do this, pray, then God's going to lead you mysteriously to where He wants you to be, which is not found in Scripture. So let's say I pray, God, where do you want me? And all of a sudden, I'm driving down the road in my car, and I was at church, I said, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to pray, you know, go? And I see a homeless person walking down the street, and next thing, that must be it. God wants me to go help that homeless person. Not that you shouldn't help the homeless person. But, you know, was that homeless person there because that's where that homeless person always was, and you just were akin to seeing it, not seeing it, driving by, and you notice it because, you know, now you got your eyes open, you're going, oh, where does God want me? And that's not how that works. That's not how prayer works. That isn't the purpose of prayer. Prayer is our communication to God. God's Word is our answer to our prayers. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray like, you know, we shouldn't pray, hey, your son's sick, your daughter's sick, your child's sick, your wife's sick, and you ask for prayer for healing and that. I'm not saying that. We should not do that, because we should, because it says we should in Scripture. But we shouldn't expect some audible voice, and we shouldn't expect some miraculous healing because we prayed. No. And that's where a lot of mysticism and misuse of prayer today in today's culture comes in. And we see a lot of that happening, especially like in the Word of Faith, the faith healing circles. And we got an audio clip we're going to listen to from Todd Bentley, of course, and it's a perfect example. And then an unknown faith healer I found on YouTube that just basically is called Faith Healing Fail. And it just shows an example of the basics of somebody who was couldn't run, and this person was praying over him, ah, we're going to be healed, you're going to have new limbs and all this, and all of a sudden the person tries running, falls down, is in pain. Well, obviously it's faith healing fail. And we're going to look at that, and we're just going to listen to that, because I think, you know, it's a very important topic, faith healing, because in this subject, you know, it's prayer and that, healing and faith healing and all this laying hands on you to be healed. I don't believe that it's not the fact that necessarily laying hands on somebody's wrong and asking God to heal them. I'm not saying that, but it's like it crosses a line when people in circles do this and it almost becomes a demand that, God, you have to heal this person. No, God's sovereign. God doesn't have to heal that person, because maybe it's God's will to allow that person to have whatever is wrong with them be wrong with them for His glory, to glorify Him. And now you might say, oh, Rich, that's really mean. God is God of love, and God would never want somebody to be hurt and sick. Then why, if that's the case, I can point to Scriptures and the Psalms. Why does it say God even made the deaf and the dumb? If that's the case, if God even made the deaf and the dumb, in Scripture it says this in Psalms, then why wouldn't God use somebody who has been infected or afflicted with a injury or a sickness to His glorification, even allowing that sickness to to be part of that person, but use that to glorify God? Not that God caused that sickness, and I'm not saying that, but that sickness, just as any sickness and sin, is a result of our fallen condition here in earth because of Adam and the sin and our fallen sinful nature. So when somebody gets sick, it isn't like God is smiting them and looking down and going, oh, you sinned, and now you're gonna pay. I'm gonna give you a heart attack or heart disease or cancer. No, it's those diseases, those sicknesses, illnesses, problems in life, what we pray about, are results of our sinful nature, our fallen state here on earth, because we're in the world and we're not supposed to be of the world, but we are of the world in the sense of we're affected by what goes on in this world. We're affected by disease. We're affected by tragedy. We're affected by events that happen in this world. So therefore, those events are going to affect us, and it isn't that God caused them, but God allows them for his glorification and to glorify him. So in a way, when you pray, I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray. Let's say you're sick and you shouldn't, you know, let's say with a terminal disease, and I'm going to share something here, and it's important to share, I believe, with on the podcast here, that, and I have good authority to do so, because let me get into this here real shortly. I'm going to share this. That it's not that God, you know, is going, oh, you punished person. But a couple years ago, I found out that several years, you may not or may know that my job requires a DOT testing. It means I got to go, basically, you go in, go pee on a stick, you go get tested for drugs, they test your blood pressure, they do a whole bunch of other things, you know, for DOT physical. Well, my DOT physical came back and they weren't going to pass me because I had a high concentration of blood in my urine. And it was found out I had to go to a doctor, get tested, and they hooked me up to a ultrasound machine and did a whole bunch of other tests. And I found out I only have one kidney. And actually, I have a kidney. I have what is known as stage 3 chronic kidney disease. Now, I may, at some point, have to have a kidney transplant. It does not mean, you know, I'm going to die from it. But hey, I gotta go to the doctor. I gotta get checked up every once in a while and make sure it's not progressing. Make sure, hey, I may have gone dialysis. I might have to, you know, not be able to do what I'm doing in my life now for my job. But I don't look at it as a death sentence, and I did not freak out at the time. Yes, it was a shock, but knowing what I know about the disease, most people don't find out about that disease until they're on death's table and they're in what's called renal failure and they're sitting in a bed for the next 6 months waiting for a kidney. So God blessed me by knowing ahead of time and allowing me to know, hey, this might happen to you. But I did not freak out and go, oh no, God, why did you do this to me? That wasn't my answer, my reaction. My reaction was, okay, this is what God's given me. Now, what does God want me to do with it? What was God, you know, what was the purpose of this? What is the purpose? Now, I had friends that said, oh, well, let's lay hands on you and pray and God reverse this to you. And I said, you know, I prayed. I said, hey, God, you know, I asked why. You know, anybody's going to ask why. But I also, in the same sense, knew the answer from Scripture. That we are in a fallen world. It's a result of our fallen world. We are in sin. Therefore, because we are in sin, well, this is a sign of the sinful state we're in. I had friends come to me and say, well, we want to lay hands on you and pray. I said, well, you know, I appreciate that. I really did. They're humble. They're strong Christians. They, you know, believe what they believe about prayer. And they believe that, hey, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong in their sense, what they're doing. You know, their intent was good, but I just don't think it was scripturally based that they wanted to cast it out and, you know, almost demand that I would, you know, have a new restored kidney. And I said, no, that's not biblical, because God's allowed this to happen for his glory. And if this is the case, whatever it may be, wherever it leads me, it's for his glory. And I will take it and use it for his glory. And to try to say, hey, I'm going to do this or that and allow it to just, you know, and be mad because God won't heal me of this. No. You know, yes, I pray for hearing. If God wants to heal me of this, he will heal me of it. But if he doesn't want to heal me of it and he wants to use whatever may come for his glorification, then allow it to happen and allow it for his glorification, then that's what's going to happen. It's God's will. If God's will for me to be healed, amen, then I'm healed. If not, then I'm not. And I will use whatever comes for his glorification. And that's the way we have to look at it. And this is where a lot of that, and, you know, I don't share this with a lot of people. I don't, you know, make a big deal about it. But, you know, this contains to the subject, and it's something important to talk about because I have experience dealing in this area. And I've seen the misuse of prayer, and, you know, where people will go out and go to these faith healers and have this, say, heart disease, whatever, you know, liver disease, kidney disease, you know, whatever, tuberculosis, I don't know, what you name it, cancer. And they'll go there and go, I'm going to get healed, I'm going to get healed, I'm going to get healed. And they go to these things, and guess what? They don't get healed. Then what happens? Well, then they're downhearted and, oh man, I didn't get healed. God doesn't love me. Or a lot of times, well, maybe it's something I did. Or, you know, a lot of times what will happen is the preachers or like people like Todd Bentley will go, hey, you didn't have enough faith. That's why you weren't healed. And, you know, so what happens is then that person automatically, well, it's got to be me. I didn't have enough faith. And then they get disheartened and stop believing or, you know, fall away from the faith and, you know, or get into a rut where it's all them when in reality it's not. It's not that they did not have enough faith. It's the fact that as Christians, we are in this world, stuck in this world, and we're surrounded by sin. And the curse of sin is sickness. Meaning that we're going to get sick. We're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. That's not because you didn't have enough faith. Not because God didn't was out to smite you and wants to, you know, oh, look, you know, I want to knock him down a few levels. Well, you know, in maybe some odd cases, you know, it might seem like that, but you know, if you trace it back, it's because you're, a lot of times, you know, if you're being prideful or stuff like that, well, it's because you're being prideful, and, well, God doesn't like pridefulness, so, boom. You know, he will allow things to happen, but he won't cause them to happen, in that sense. He'll allow sin to take its natural course. And, you know, somebody who's sick, and, you know, because of that, it isn't because they didn't have enough faith. It's because, simply fact that, they're in a sinful, fallen world. And being in that sinful, fallen world, sin affects us. Now, like I said, we're going to be looking at, or listening to, Todd Bentley here talk about, very shortly, his a faith healing. And there was an interview, I think, done a couple years ago called Lakeland Liar about on ABC and his Lakeland revivals and how this kid, you know, wanted to have enough faith and came there to get healed of spina bifida and didn't get healed of it. And just listen how Todd Bentley wiggles and worms out of this, and just it's really sad on how he misuses prayer and misuses the Word of God and the trust that people put in the Word of God for his own self-edification and building up of a false ministry. So let's take a listen to this clip real quickly here.
There was a boy last night with spina bifida who got up on the stage and about 15 years old, and he took off his braces and his crutches and he walked. Do you think you changed his physical diagnosis?
I don't. No. He believed that if he came to the meeting, something was going to happen. He's got strong faith in the God that he believes in. He's got strong faith in what the Bible says about healing. And I never prayed for him. I didn't tell him.
Okay, listen right there. What Todd Bentley said. He never prayed for him, that he had strong faith. This is the intro clip to this. I think it was Mike Wallace might have been talking to him. I'm not really sure who the interviewer is. But the fact that he just basically said to him, I didn't pray for him. He had strong faith in the God that he believes in. The God he believes in. It's almost as if Todd Bentley, who is a false teacher, by all means. He's a false prophet. He's not of God. I believe Todd Bentley is one of the very few people, if there are, you know, demon-possessed people in the sense of preachers and that, that if you look at him, he's very dark in nature, and he is demon-possessed. And that he basically, you know, is basically advocating there are many gods, because that's a god he believes in, that boy believes in. Well, there might be different from another god that someone else believes in, or that Todd Bentley believes in. And obviously, Todd Bentley's god is a different god. It's a demonic god. It's not the god of the Bible. So, of course, his boy was not healed if he is a true believer. So, just let's, you know, get back to the clip. I thought that was important to bring up.
In the name of Jesus, loose, 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 loose. Straighten, 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 straighten.
What do you? And yes, I laid my hands on him and I said, thank you for what you're doing, God. I ask you for this miracle. And he had faith and I...
You can hear there that Todd Bentley is end-rounding this up. That, you know, yes, I laid hands on him, but, you know, he's sidestepping. But, you know, he had faith. I just laid hands on him. And, you know, if you look at, listen to in the beginning when he got back into the first clip, that loosen, loosen, straighten, straighten. What, that yelling, that chanting, where is that in the Bible? Anytime you see anybody praying in the Bible for somebody to be healed, or you see Jesus praying or healing the person, you know, performing miracles, you don't see Christ. You don't see people praying. And anytime you see biblical prayer, you don't see people yelling, straighten, straighten, heal, heal. That yelling, that chanting, that demonic, overtonish present of just unbiblical preaching or, you know, teaching there of prayer. I mean, that's nowhere to be found in Scripture. It's just an example of just the wildness of Todd Bentley and his false teaching and that whole Lakeland movement and his whole preaching and, quote, revival and restoration efforts. You know, you're talking about a man that basically, you know, cheated on his wife with her secretary, left his wife because she was handicapped, remarried, and was supposedly restored into the ministry. No, the guy is disqualified. He's unfit to be a preacher. He's unfit to be teaching the Word of God. He's unfit to be in front of any audience in authority over God. He needs to repent. He needs to go back and teach, be taught Scripture, and repent of what he's done, what he's doing, and get back with his wife. It's just that simple. I mean, this guy is in no authority to be doing what he's doing. He's misleading people straight into the gates of hell. But let's continue on with this interview and see what exactly happens to this boy.
Alex so desperately wants to be healed, yet here he is later that night as he stumbles to the ground.
I saw him afterwards in the audience, walking without his braces, without his crutches, falling over.
Yeah.
Is there a danger in a situation like that of giving someone a false hope, of raising an expectation that simply isn't going to be realized?
I think the danger can be there. I think the danger can be there with any message.
Come on, Holy Ghost! Oh! This boy's being healed of crippling, crippling spinal bifida from birth!
Holy Ghost!
Oh! This boy's being healed of crippling, crippling spinal bifida from birth!
No, he's not.
And if you asked him right now, he'd still have the same thing. That's the beautiful thing about it.
I suspect, I'm certain he still has the same spina bifida, too.
Almost 2 weeks later, Alex is back in California. His mother says he is walking without braces like never before. She still believes it is a miracle. Although she adds, he still clearly has spina bifida. Although she adds, he still clearly has spina bifida.
Fire!
Yeah, as you can see, he definitely is not cured of his spinal bifida. And, you know, he might be walking without his braces more, but he was clearly walking without his braces beforehand. And it wasn't that he couldn't walk without his braces. So really, his change in it, walking more, walking less with his braces at the end, Todd Bentley did nothing. his, you know, straighten, and chanting and all that did nothing. Todd Bentley is a false faith healer. You know, in this next clip, we're going to look at another false faith healer, you know, that basically told this person that, hey, we're going to get a new set of limbs. Now, if you looked at the video, the person is not limbless. The lady did not grow a set of limbs. She has all her limbs. She has two arms, two legs. But obviously there was something wrong where she can't use her legs and run without a great deal of pain. So, and we're going to see that, you know, in this next clip, that this person, even though, you know, they're doing this faith healing supposedly, that it just doesn't work. At the end of the video, the person is still in great pain, and it takes place in a church. I'm going to set this up here a little for you. And it takes a church, and the person yells, okay, go run. At the end of the video, you see the person running and then collapses and sitting in a pew in great pain as she's crying in pain because the faith healing miraculously didn't work. And, you know, this is the problem with a lot of this faith healing. Like I've said, I am not discounting if God wants to heal somebody of something, because there has been cases where somebody has cancer and they go in and they're going to go get treated for the cancer, and all of a sudden, miraculously, the cancer's gone. There's no test sign of it. There's nothing, and the person's cured. I'm not denying that. God cured that. That's good. Praise God. God cleared that. But that's because God wanted to do that, and that was to God's glory to do that. But this on-demand and people, these faith healers, taking and demanding God do this is basically akin to slapping God in the face and taking the sovereignty of God and reversing it and taking it and putting it into a synergistical view and making it look and take as, I'm in control because I'm the faith healer and I will tell God to heal you. And that's what they are basically doing. They are calling down spirits of their own kind to heal these people, not of God. When God heals somebody miraculously from cancer, from a disease, it's not because of a faith healer demanded it to be done. It's because it glorified God, and God does it in a way that it only could be God, contributed to God, to God's glorification, to His edification and glorifying Him. Because the problem, the very crux of the problem with faith healing and faith healing prayers and all this is it takes the sovereignty and the glorification and takes it from God and puts it on that faith healer. People turn to that person to come to and be healed instead of that person who is ill going to God, who is sovereign, who's holy, and will answer their prayer with a yes or a no. And sometimes that yes, you know, might be healing through traditional means. It isn't wham, bam, snap your fingers, and you're healed. It might be, hey, that person has cancer, they go through the treatment, and guess what? The cancer's in remission and is gone for the next 25 years. And clinically, they're healed. Or, you know, the person has heart disease, and they go in and they have surgery. And then through correct diet and, you know, through, you know, proper living, they live another 40 years because guess what? God provided a healing. God provided a man means of healing, but the person was still healed and was glorified. And that healing still, that sustains of life, was glorification to God. So we're going to listen to this next clip at this false failed faith healing of this lady, you know, who obviously is in great pain, has something wrong with her, and is going to this faith healer, and basically is told you're going to have new limbs and be able to run, and doesn't run. So let's listen to that real quick.
Do you believe God can heal you today?
I do.
You do? Good. God is getting ready to give you two brand new limbs. When I count to three, you're gonna be healed. And you're gonna be running all over this place. And how long you haven't ran? How long it's been without you running?
3 years.
4 years. this is good. You stretch your hands towards her, and I'm praying the Holy Spirit. If you've never seen a miracle, you are about to see one now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this. Pray. I need people praying in the Holy Spirit. I need people praying. She hasn't ran in 4 years. New legs. 1, 2, 3. Be healed now. Run. Come on. Run.
All right, now, like I said, the clip cuts out, and you heard it. 1, 2, 3, be healed. See, it takes it, these faith healers, and they take and make these into demands that faith healer is demanding Christ or and God to heal them because they said so. And that is not what biblical prayer is. Biblical prayer is coming to God humbly and not asking audaciously as some evangelical mainstream pastors like narcissistic Stephen Furtick does, and has to say, you know, you got to pray audacious, bold prayers. And, you know, Mark Batterson's another one that does this in this arena and states that if you're not praying audacious, bold prayers, well, you're not praying correctly. Well, that's not true. Scripture is very clear in Luke and in Matthew, Luke 11. That we are supposed to be coming to God humbly seeking prayer. And that prayer and guidance, when we come to the Lord, we do not come in a demanding spirit, but we come to as a son would come to his father and asking for advice, asking for forgiveness, asking for, God to help us. But we do not come in a demandful spirit towards Christ. You have to do this. Because, no, God's sovereign. You know, like I said, when I was in school, I had a professor say to me, there is a God, and you're not him. And that reigns true when it comes to prayer and his faith healing stuff. There is a God, and these faith healers are not God. And they are not agents of God. They don't have special powers to demand that God heals them. Instead, what they're doing is they're taking people, and like this lady in this video, who, you know, this faith healer, okay, you're going to have new limbs. Well, she goes, runs at the end of the video, and falls down in pain, is at the end of the pew crying at the end of the church, because obviously she wasn't healed. And it basically, again, takes a monergistic view of prayer. This is meaning that God is in control. If you're not familiar, monergistic is just a big term, word for, and within Reformed theology, meaning the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. It takes a monergistic view and places it into a synergistic view, which basically means that there's a cooperative going between man and God. That, okay, I'm going to say this, and then God, you're going to do this. No, God's not synergistic. God's monergistic, meaning that God is in control. God ordains what's going to happen. God wills and allows things to happen. And things that happen that are negative are not because God hates us. It's not because God has a evil plan and wants to sit up there and torment people. No. Things that happen that are bad, sickness, death, sickness of loved ones, you know, people get hurt, people are stuck in wheelchairs, you know, maybe they're bedridden for life. It's not because God's evil. It's not because God's awful. And it's not because that person doesn't have enough faith. It's because we live in a fallen world. And the effects of living in a fallen, sinful world and of our sinful nature is that sin will affect us. But we can use that fallen nature, that disease, what's ever affecting of us, ailing us, to glorify God. If we seek God in a proper aspect of I'm not going to go to a faith healer and demand I be healed, but I'm going to go to God and say, okay, God, I'm hurt. Why do I have this? And it's not wrong to question God why you have this, why this was allowed. Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh. And what was God's answer? No, that it glorified God for Paul to have that thorn in his flesh. Just as God may miraculously heal you of your sickness, or he may not, and allow you to have that thorn inside of your flesh to glorify him. But as true believers, we need to have that attitude that we seek the Lord, go to him in prayer, and then search his word for his answers. And, you know, as I've often said and always do in these shows, just don't take what I say for, you know, because, hey, I'm on the radio and I'm saying this, you know, the guy on the radio or, you know, the apologist with the website, you know, he wrote this article and said that. No, take it back to the word of God and search the scriptures for yourself. Don't turn to me, news media, false faith healers for your answers. Go to the word of God. Check the word of God for your answers. And you will find your answers there. You'll find the correct answers in the word of God. Now, as I said, you know, I'm not against prayer or communal prayer for somebody. Let's say we're in church and, you know, your brother, your sister in Lord is in the hospital. Pray for their healing. Pray for them. Pray that they may be miraculously healed. But don't expect and demand that prayer to be answered. Remember, God's going to answer that prayer. God's either going to miraculously heal him or they're not. But either way, then if God's not going to heal that person, or God may heal that person through traditional medical means that God has allowed to prosper on this earth, that we may be healed, that through doctors, through medicine, then pray that that may be done. And when we're praying, always pray for that that person may edify and glorify God in the condition they're in. Now, next week, we're going to look at, we'll do a little news updates and look at some articles, and I haven't exactly put together an exact theme. So we're going to be looking at some stuff that's going on in the Christian worldview arena. And I will be putting that out on our Facebook page and on our Twitter account, what our topic will be next week. Now, if you, again, if you want to follow us, you can do so at EBC Apologetics on Twitter, Empowered by Christ EBC on Facebook. And you can look at our website, or you can keep the up on the latest articles, what we're blogging on, topics, worldview issues, Christian apologetic issues, you name it. We got a lot of different articles on there, and you can do that at empoweredbychrist.org. And I would prayerfully consider, ask you guys to consider donating to our fundraising effort. And you, again, you can check that out on our website, right on the homepage. And you can check that out also on our Facebook page. And just go there, check it out. Like I said, we're not that we're going to shut the doors down or not do shows or anything like that if we don't reach our goal. But we are financially to the point where we can do what we can do with the funds we can provide. In order for us to expand, in order for us to reach new markets and get the gospel and message of Christ out and discuss apologetics and to do worldview topics, we need to raise funds to continue doing what we're doing and to expand and start and reach into new areas. So prayerfully consider donating. Like I said, you know, you'll see the prices on there, and those are the prices for what it costs to run the ministry and to expand and to get back onto Blog Talk Radio and to do live shows. And if you want to donate a dollar, donate a dollar. If you want to, you know, when you click on this thing, it says, you know, the price, it says donate. Well, it'll give you, it'll say like donate $10, or it'll give you an amount you can donate, and you can fill in whatever amount you want to donate. Like if you want to donate $5, donate $5. If you want to donate a dollar, donate a dollar. Anything is appreciated. And again, you know, we don't get paychecks for what we do here. We do fundraising and to help support the ministry. And we're going to do this periodically
to support our growth of this ministry. And we're prayerfully, like I said, we meet with our board, and this is the way we decided to go about it without, you know, making a special, well, you only can listen to a half an hour of the show, or you can only have, you know, read these articles, but if you want to have, you got to become a member. We don't want to do that. We don't want to take the Word of God and portion it in that way where we restrict access to teaching materials or anything like that, because we want it to edify and we want to give this information to you freely of charge. You know, no charge, because we want to edify and have the saints of Christ built up so that he can speak the truth into a fallen world. So, thank you for listening. Please prayerfully consider donating, and God bless, and God willing, we will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
You have been listening to EBC Radio. You can contact us at ebcradio4u@gmail.com. Make sure to follow us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure to check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And thank you for listening.